Welcome back to the Puckin' Pod. On today's episode, we discuss training camps around the NHL, including the Toronto Maple Leafs and Vancouver Canucks preseasons, and we give our predictions for all 32 teams this year in the NHL. That's all coming up next right here on the Puckin' Pod. Let's puckin' go. All right, guys, we're back for another episode of the Puckin' Pod. Thank you guys for joining us. Brandon, Paul, how are we feeling today, guys?
It is cold and wet outside.
We haven't been able to say that for a while, honest with you.
I feel like the last, three podcasts have been, it's so hot outside, and here we are complaining about the opposite.
We're worried about opening the door,
yeah,
as noise could ring in because it's so hot. And now it's like, let's get hoodies on, let's get hats on, let's get shoes on. It's a nasty day outside, and that's okay, really, for me. I don't mind the rain and the chillier weather. Just put on a hoodie.
Nice raincoat if you need it.
I've always been one to, you hear a lot about the people who complain about the West Coast and that, it rains so much and I'd rather live somewhere where it doesn't rain as much. But here's the thing. We have so much beautiful green trees, green grass, greenery, period, outside that we have nothing to complain about when you think of all of that. It's just a little rain.
Oxygen. Air. Clean. Yeah. Unless you live in Abbotsford or something.
Yeah.
Just kidding all my friends in Abbotsford.
Yeah. No, I absolutely love living on the wet coast, as we call it. And, this to me is a perfect symbol of the beginning of hockey season.
I was going to say that exact thing. This means that it's right here. It's right around the corner.
Exactly.
And let's go.
It's the one funny thing I find about this season specifically, especially this early on, late September, kind of mid to late September, when the training camps start in the NHL and you start seeing these preseason games. The one thing that I find so frustrating, and this is because I'm a diehard hockey fan, the one thing I find so frustrating about preseason hockey is you can't watch the games. You can't watch all the games. The Canucks just had an awesome game last night that was only streamed on their website. If you wanted to watch it, you had to watch it on their website. And sometimes that is difficult to do. So it's challenging.
I've seen a lot of reports on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it lately, about people saying, the streaming services are getting a little out of hand as far as coverage and being able to see this and that. And, not everything is on one. You have to pay for six or seven. I mean, obviously it's done on purpose, but yeah. I mean, I'm still an old fashioned guy. I've got my cable. I've got my sports package. I've got my center ice when I have to, I have to pay for it, of course, but, at least I get to see most stuff, but yeah, preseason's one of those.
Yeah, the inflation of everything's making the pricing of everything absolutely ridiculous. So, why not get it for free, right?
And honestly, the thing I learned this year is that they're specifically for the Canucks, but I know there's other teams that this will affect as well, but there will be games broadcast on Amazon Prime this year. And with that, you have to have a Prime membership in order to watch those games. So I know a lot of people who don't have that membership are really upset about that.
I wonder if there'll be ads.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm finding with the subscriptions that you see, they give you the different pricing for basic that has the ads and then the premium that
yeah, but
that
for a live broadcast, they probably won't have the ads that you would normally see, say on a Amazon Prime. It'll be just like commercial breaks.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it'll
be. Literally,
it's like the Starbucks of streaming services. Even Amazon now, Amazon Prime isn't Prime. There's a tall, a grande, and a venti. Unreal.
It's very true, and it can be frustrating for a lot of hockey fans. So, I feel like I'm lucky in that I already have Prime membership. I know I'm going to be able to watch those games. But I know there are people out there who don't have that luxury. So they may have to go the route that you were talking about and find a way to watch those games without having to fork over, $16 to Amazon just to be able to watch one hockey game. It's sad.
Paul, you're a Game Center guy, aren't you? You get the Game Center app?
Usually every year. Yeah. They 2 years ago switched over to Sportsnet Plus, so you still get the NHL Network and Game Center and all that. It's just connected through Sportsnet Plus now, so you actually do get the Raptors games and the Blue Jays games to go with it.
Right.
But they increased the price by like $80 last year.
Oh, wow.
It was like about 170 that you would pay. And then they jumped it up to 250 a year.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
I've been saying for a couple of years that I was going to maybe get away from Center Ice and try Game Center, or as you say, Sportsnet Plus. I think one of the cool things about that is that you don't necessarily have to have it recorded. You can go and find the already streamed version and, you know, basically start however you want. If you don't want to, if you happen to know the score in the first period or whatever, and you just want to jump to the second, you can do that. Whereas if I happen to be somewhere and forget to record the game on Center Ice, well, that's it. I now I got to catch the highlights at 10 o'clock or whatever, right?
Yeah, definitely the benefit of the streaming part of it. Like, I have been streaming off of Game Center for the last 10 years, and then this year I've got cable at home, so I haven't paid it yet, but I don't know, maybe I'll change my mind if I feel like I'm missing too much.
Yeah, I feel like you guys are kind of in a unique situation, being Leafs fans, that you have to do that kind of thing to watch the games. You know, here in BC, like, we have all the Canuck games, so there's no issue for me, but, you know, having a cable subscription, but, you know, it's definitely challenging being able to watch those games.
Think about it this way, because a lot of times the standing joke is, oh, the Leafs are always on Saturday night. They are on a lot. But you're still maybe only getting 25 to 30 games out of the entire season. There's still 50 to 55 games that you have to find elsewhere.
Yeah.
And that's why we pay $200+ a year for the subscriptions.
It's expensive being a hockey fan sometimes. and you know, and it is. I mean, look at the cost of tickets these days. Yeah, the cost of merchandise. You want to buy a jersey, you're forking out at least $300. If you go to a game and you want to buy a jersey at a game, it's insane. And, you know, with everything going up in price, cost of living, cost of goods and services, like, it makes it really challenging to be able to be like what you would consider a true fan. I feel like in the end, you know, some of us just live with what we got and we'll sit at home and watch the game. And rather than go to a game, I haven't been to a Canucks game live in a couple of seasons, which is unfortunate because I really wanted to go last year, especially with the upgrades they had at Rogers Arena. I really want to see that huge big screen they've got now. You know, they're going to have new seats next year, so I'm expecting cost of tickets to go up even more next year.
Yeah.
The team is supposed to be better this year, so the same thing. You know, as the teams get better, it gets more and more expensive to watch them. So, you know, if you want to watch them play, you kind of have to go see them play a bad team, because, you know, the cost isn't so high. It's still high, but it's not as high, say, if I wanted to go see them play the Leafs or something like that.
Did you ever go see Flames games when you were in Calgary? I think you said you saw a few, right?
Oh, every year.
Do you remember what the cost was like to go?
Depends where you sat in the nosebleeds. If you're going back, say, you know, 15, 16 years ago, you could get a nosebleed seat for $20.
Right.
And then if you were looking to get down to the lower bowls, you know, mid bowl, you're looking at maybe $60 for tickets, and then lower bowl in the hundreds at that point.
Right. Do you remember how much you paid, Joe, the last time you went to a Canucks game? I'm just trying to get an idea of, like, across the country, if it's any different, because I saw the Leafs in Edmonton in 2012, and after your answer, I'll let you know how much we paid.
Yeah, I think so my wife and I went to the last time I went, and I want to say it was like $160 for two tickets, and that was a great deal at the time, and they were lower bowl tickets too.
Right.
Like corner, kind of lower bowl corner, but
yeah.
Great seats in my opinion.
Yeah, my buddy, you guys know Mike Crosby. When I was in Edmonton, we went and saw the Leafs play the Oilers. He was physically mad. He was physically mad because he had never seen so many opposing teams' jerseys at the home game.
Did
of the
he
Oilers.
Not expect that, though?
I think he did, but it was overwhelming. It was more than... There was probably more Leafs jerseys than Oilers jerseys.
That's usually the case.
It is the
There's
case.
A lot of Leaf fans
It's the same with
Canada.
Montreal.
Yeah.
But when we went to the game there, it was interesting because we were in the lower bowl. We were in the same row as all of the Oilers' wives.
Oh.
They were about... And girlfriends and stuff. They were about probably 10 or 12 seats to the right of us. And we were almost directly in line with the visiting goaltender. So we got to see the Oilers shoot twice on the Leafs goaltender, and I tell you, lower bowl seats were nice, but I should have had my sunglasses when you see the diamonds on those girls' hands. Holy smokes. And at the time, I think we paid $150 a piece
yeah.
for those tickets, and that was in 2012.
To see, it is more expensive to see Canadian teams play Canadian teams in the end because you want to see, like, I've never seen the Canucks play a Canadian team before. I've seen them play, let me think, I've seen them play Colorado, I've seen them play Phoenix back in the day a few times because my buddy used to get tickets from Shane Doan because he knew him well. And then I've seen them play Dallas. And like, so basically American teams. I've only ever seen them play American teams. I've never seen them play a Canadian team before because of the cost of tickets. They're so expensive. So it's challenging. You know, like I say, it is expensive to be a hockey fan, but we are hockey fans in the end.
You go around the NHL and there was always a rumor that you could buy a plane ticket.
Yeah.
Get in a hotel room for the night. Beer, hot dog, at an Arizona game or a Phoenix game. Sorry to crap on
or
them,
Utah
or whatever, Utah now, yeah. But not the best destination necessarily, except the weather's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But you could do all of that and fly home for less money than it would cost to go see a Canucks game.
100%.
Cross the pond.
And in some cases, stay in like a luxury hotel room. Like, it's definitely, it's a costly thing to cheer for. But, you know, I think the same can go the other way when you consider the United States and football or baseball or, you know, any of those major sports, basketball, probably the same thing. To go to New York City and watch the Knicks play, I'm sure, is just as expensive to go and see the Canucks play or the Leafs play, right? It's a cost. Being a sports fan in general, so I think we'll generalize it. Being a sports fan in general is a costly thing, but we still love doing it. We still love cheering for our teams. And sometimes it breaks our hearts. I should say
sometimes.
Every time it breaks our hearts. Especially me as a Canuck fan. My team has never won the Stanley Cup. It breaks my heart every year. But we still love them and we still bleed for them.
Loser.
I think it's... I think you have to take into consideration, I guess, the size of the city is going to play a part in that too. So the demand is going to be higher. Yeah. That's why you see Leafs games like, you know, $1,000 per ticket kind of almost, because there's so much demand to get into that game. So compared to, say, like a lower market, like, I don't want to pick on anybody, but Winnipeg does have a small arena, smaller market, so I wouldn't be surprised that their ticket prices are a little bit lower.
Yeah, you know, and also there is the sort of, you know, like I say, going back to inflation, cost of goods and services, like the just to go to a BC Lions football game, it's costing more now than it used to a couple of years ago because the amount they have to pay players to play has risen. So they need to be able to afford all of that too. So there is a lot that goes into it, and I'm sure that's the part that fans don't take into consideration. You know, when it comes to the rising cost of everything, is that you know, you're paying for a lot of stuff. You're not just putting money in an owner's pocket. You're paying for, you know, all the people that work in that arena and all the people that put together what you get to go and see and enjoy. So, you know, there's a lot we don't think about as fans too. So, Paul, let's talk a little bit about what's happening around the NHL. You know, we're coming close to the beginning of the season. We've seen training camps come, you know, start and stop now that preseason's begun. I guess it's technically still training camp when it's the preseason, but let's talk a little bit about the NHL and what's happening around the league with training camps.
Definitely. We can touch upon what we've talked about previously here. There's been more PTOs that have been signed that are given some fringe players, I guess you can call them, a chance to see if they can make their team. So since we last talked, Kevin LeBanc did sign a PTO with the Devils. Dylan Ferguson was signed to a PTO by the Canucks, but actually has been recently released.
Yeah, he got released like the next day because they signed Kevin Lankinen.
Oh, wow.
So that was the whole thing. The Canucks did that to sort of push Lankinen's hand a little bit because they could have easily signed Ferguson to a minimum contract and then had him as a backup goalie to, say, you know, Shelov's. But they signed Lankinen to a one-year contract below $1 million, which is awesome because they're still not in LTIR because of that. So they're still outside of LTIR. They sign Lankinen, and then they have to release Ferguson. Ferguson then signed a contract with the Iowa Wild, like literally right away.
Right away.
Crazy. So
that is a low-key, absolutely brilliant move.
100%.
If indeed that was done on purpose that way.
Yeah, so like what happened with the Lankinen situation, sorry to interrupt, Paul, but what happened with the Lankinen situation was they had basically tabled the offer to Lankinen, you know, a month ago. And Lankinen didn't want to sign it because he was hoping for more than $1 million. He wanted something like 1.1. And what happened was, is he wasn't getting that offer from anybody. And so the Canucks just said, take it or leave it. That's your offer. When he didn't take the offer at the beginning of training camp, they signed the PTO to Ferguson, which then pushed Lankinen's hand because, you know, he wants to play. He wants to play, and he wanted to play for Vancouver too. So
yeah, I always think this guy has like a wrestler's kind of name, Rocco Grimaldi.
Grimaldi. Yeah.
He signed with the Hurricanes. I think he last played with Nashville.
That's a PTO, correct?
PTO. These okay. are all PTOs.
Did he play with New Jersey at one point?
Nashville is where I remember.
Yeah, it's the last where I remember
right.
him.
Right.
We have John Gillies signed a PTO with the Leafs. John Leonard with the Panthers. Mike Hoffman with the Oilers. He was kind of almost a star player at one point, and now he's relegated kind of to a PTO.
Off, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's also up there in age, I think, isn't he? Isn't he like 37?
He's 34.
34, yeah. We got Lucas Johansson, who, again, was considered a big prospect by the Capitals at one point. He's signed a PTO with the Predators. Aaron Dell did sign with the Sharks again, but just recently got released. And Dustin Tokarski, because Allmark has an injury now, signed a PTO with the Senators.
Yeah, that's crazy. Allmark signs this deal with the Senators, and he's expected to be the star goalie, obviously, and then he gets hurt. You know, that's what happens. That's what happens in training camps. It's a sad thing, but it does happen.
It's almost unavoidable.
Yeah.
If we're looking at the Canadian teams that you guys aren't going to cover, so we're going to do Canucks and Leafs a little bit after. I'll cover some of the things that are going on with the other Canadian teams here. The Flames basically have a three-way battle for the two goalie spots on the team. Dustin Wolf and Dan Vladar obviously have the NHL contracts. Devin Cooley, though, is making a good push on that. The coach has said he's been impressive, as well as the acquired defenseman for Lindholm last year.
Yeah, Lindholm.
Hunter Brzustowicz.
Brzevich.
There we go. I will let Joe say that.
Nobody can pronounce his name right. And for all I know, I'm pronouncing it wrong too. But from what I understand, it's Brzevich.
Brzevich.
Okay. Brzevich. Hunter Brzevich. He's supposed to be a very good defenseman. Very good. I don't know what his ceiling is, but Calgary definitely got a good guy with him, for sure. They have another guy who surprisingly is lasting in their training camp, Joni Yermo, who's a tall kind of winger. He's like 6'5" or 6'6" or something like that. But I don't want to get your hopes up with him.
Yeah.
He's
small.
So. He's also kind of like he's been up there. He's been a prospect now for, I think he's like 25.
I think he's on the young end, actually. Still,
is
I think
he?
He's
are you sure?
He's 22 years old.
Wow. Okay. So they drafted him young then, I guess. That's surprising.
Going on, we have the other team in Alberta. They signed former Leaf defenseman Travis Dermott.
Hold on. The other team in Alberta.
This is the Flames fan who doesn't want to say the cursed name.
The Oilers. Sorry.
We have other names for that team as well, but we don't like to say them because we're on a podcast and we support all hockey teams.
We do support all hockey teams.
We just don't cheer for the said team sometimes, but that's true. Yeah. So the Oilers have signed...
Former Leaf defenseman, Travis Dermott.
Canucks defenseman as well.
And Canucks defenseman too, actually. That's right.
I actually liked Dermott on Vancouver. I thought he was a decent defenseman.
Well, they're saying he's impressing in camp, like his foot speed and his puck movement has actually been really good. So they're saying that he might actually sign as the seventh defenseman on that team.
Good for him.
Evander Kane is expected to miss the whole season and not play until 2025. He's expecting that.
I did not hear that. I didn't hear that he was expected to miss the whole season. That's a big hit to their forward group. But then again, if he does miss the whole season, there's some cap room there with LTIR that they can
absolutely
use.
The rumor is right now that Evander Kane will be ready for the first game of the playoffs.
Of course, right? That's the way it works.
That's the way it works.
That is if Edmonton makes the playoffs. Dun, dun, dun. Just kidding. We all know they have a really good chance of winning the Pacific Division. I'm not going to be the blind Canucks fan that says things like, there's no way now they're not going to make the playoffs. No, come on, guys. They're going to make the playoffs. They're probably win the Pacific Division. Vancouver will definitely put up a fight. I just don't know. I can't tell you right now which team is better. I have to see them play each other.
I would say that there's some dashes this offseason for Edmonton, though. I mean, definitely. The makeup is different.
Definitely
than
different.
Than their Stanley Cup runs. So, yeah. I mean, you never know, right?
Yeah.
Their first-round pick from this draft, Sam O'Reilly, apparently is impressing in camps, too. So there's a possibility of him making the team. Moving on to Manitoba with the Winnipeg Jets. Acquired player, Braden Jaeger, apparently is impressing in camp, who was acquired, obviously, for Rutger McGroarty. They're expecting Hayden Fleury or Dylan Coughlin to make the seventh man spot.
Dylan Coughlin, he's from the area, from this area.
Oh, he is.
I think he's actually from
Nanaimo or Lanceville, one of the two.
Yeah.
Dylan Ferguson, who is the goalie that we were talking about for the Canucks for the PTO, is from Ladysmith as well. Pretty cool.
That's very cool. Yeah, in part, they're getting their opportunity because they're complaining Finnish defenseman Ville Heinola got injured and is needing to.
I just have to say, this has been a really weird offseason for Winnipeg. I feel like you hear all these stories from all of these analysts and like people who talk about the team, reporters, that like all these players just don't want to play there.
Yeah.
And then they sign these long-term contracts and you're just like, okay, which side is right? Which side is telling the truth and which side's not? It's so weird.
Well, he feels like he's...
Why did McGroarty want out?
That's true. Well, I think it was the same with Heinola. He was expecting to have an NHL guaranteed spot by now, and because he's not getting it, I guess he complains about it.
So is that like narcissistic behavior where he's just blaming everyone but himself?
Yeah. Kind of have to wonder that sometimes.
Yeah.
Moving over to Ontario, the Ottawa Senators have former Canucks head coach running their training camps now. Apparently he runs a very hard training camp from
Travis
what
Green.
I hear.
Absolutely. Yeah, so one of the most famous training camp pictures is in the last year that Travis Green was head coach of Vancouver. He bag skated them, I think, every day of training camp. So it was 3 days. Each day he did a bag skate. And former Canucks prospect, who I don't believe is playing in the NHL anymore, Olli Juolevi, there's a picture of him literally like passed out on the ice from just dying. Like the picture is
wow. All
these guys like basically hunched over, dying, catching their breath. And this guy, Olli Juolevi, is literally laying down on the ice. Like all you see is like his body on its side on the ice. So it's a famous picture. It's hilarious. But yeah, Travis Green is very known for having a hard camp because he wants his players to work hard. I get it from a hockey sense. I get it. I don't necessarily believe it's the right way to run a camp, but
no. That's
just how he does it for sure.
Yeah, there even Sanderson on their defense corps has been saying he runs a really hard camp. He's finding it hard.
Yeah,
that's
yep.
Kind of cool. they kind of, you know, I shouldn't say they smoked the Leafs, but the Leafs lost both games to them in the preseason, which was a bit concerning in some aspects.
The first game against Ottawa, the Belleville team was playing for
yeah.
Ottawa.
Yeah.
There was hardly any regulars in their lineup. The Leafs had almost all regulars.
I know.
And to be honest, the goaltending was very subpar. The forward group looked pretty good. The defense was a bit lost. I actually heard a lot of people kind of praise Tanev, and I actually didn't really like that game. It was the only game I've seen him play so far, but yeah, it was a weird game. It was weird.
I mean, you can take what I say as a grain of salt, but this is just sort of my perspective when it comes to preseason hockey. You always notice, and the same can be said for regular season versus playoffs too, but you always notice kind of a flick of a switch when preseason switches over to regular season. They put out a specific kind of effort when it comes to the way the game is played. Also, the way the game is coached, the way it's structured,
yeah.
Things like that. Preseason is basically a way for a coach to look at young players and see where they fit in the lineup and if they fit in the lineup. So that's why typically a lot of the veterans don't play preseason. Like, the Canucks have currently played two preseason games, and JT Miller hasn't played a single one. He hasn't played a game yet. And that's just because they have all these prospects that they're trying to kind of get an eye of, see where they're at. So, Oilers got beat by Calgary, I think, two nights ago. And they had, like, their good players playing. I honestly feel like you can take that with a grain of salt because for more than anything, they're not putting out that effort. The loss doesn't mean anything. The win doesn't mean anything. Vancouver lost 10-0 to Calgary last year in their, I think, first game or something like that of the preseason. And I'm thinking as a fan, oh, God, here we go. And then they had the season that they had. So, you know, just I feel like don't take preseason seriously. It's just a way for coaches to sort of evaluate their team more than anything.
They are semi-meaningful games.
They're more meaningful to the fans than they are the players.
That's true.
To be devil's advocate, and I know this because I watch the Leafs, there's a lot of other teams that are going through the same thing too. But the Leafs, I would say, so far it's been the opposite, Joe. Mm. And it's because they have three new coaches out of four that are wanting to see what these players are going to do. And I know Berube for sure is like bag skating and whatnot the hell out of these players to change up the way that it has been. Because Toronto's been known for the last four or five seasons to be a country club atmosphere.
Right,
yeah.
You know, he shut down the music during practice as an example. But two out of the three games so far in the preseason, they're playing tonight, is that they are almost full NHL lineups.
Yeah.
Second game wasn't, but the first and third game, they're almost, this is what you're going to see.
Yeah, and you know what, I think that statement alone tells you exactly what the issue is, right? The country club atmosphere, what it means basically on a kind of layman's level is he's saying that these guys are basically not the culture is missing. The winning culture is missing. And I remember specifically Jim Rutherford actually said it out loud to the media that they need to get rid of this country club atmosphere, and that's exactly what it's a very common problem in the NHL when you have teams that are good enough to win but don't put forward that effort to win. And a lot of times that's coaching, and that's also like that's a good reason of maybe why they changed captains on the Leafs this year, because they need a different voice, right? And so it's definitely it's attitude and it's culture.
Yeah, so moving east, we're going to move over to the French province of Canada.
Quebec.
And the province. Les Canadiens, Montreal.
Very good French, Paul.
Oui. So far, Lane Hutson has been impressing for them. They're expecting him big for them. Liney said in his very first preseason game that he was nervous, which... Yeah, you know, for somebody that was a second overall pick, I would have expected a little more confidence, but he's also had a lot of injuries.
I feel like maybe the nerves could be very well, too, that he's playing for Montreal, and this is a storied franchise, and it means a lot to him. Maybe he grew up cheering for Montreal. You never know. So, yeah, I get it. But at the same time, you're right. Like, there's a lot of expectations out of him, too, and for himself to have for himself, too. So hopefully he does put something together for his own sake.
I would say if I look like Peter Weller in RoboCop, I'd be a little nervous, too.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Or the Crypt Creeper. and they have the Jacquet brothers playing.
Jacquet?
Is it Jacquet? Okay. Sorry, guys. I need to learn my pronunciation here.
Nobody can pronounce that name, man.
to be fair, you've got me and him to help you out in the end.
There isn't a J in there. No. It's pronounced Jacquet. So.
Jacquet. Yeah.
I'm expecting them to be the next Bash Brothers right now.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, we will see about that.
The thing about it is, you know, in today's NHL, could a Bash Brothers actually work? Because you can only get away with so much, right? I feel like in the playoffs, sure. But, you know, I think in today's NHL, it'd be really tough to do during the regular season.
I agree. I will pass on the buck. Can you tell me about what's going on with the Leafs there, Brando?
We'll go into some of Toronto stuff. Yeah, I mean, I watched the first game. I didn't get to see the second game. But as I alluded to earlier, Berube's really trying to focus down on a different culture, as you mentioned. You know, the captaincy change. As we said, he took the music away from practice, which people were talking about and noticing right away. You know, that just that subtle change alone. You even get, I don't know. The reporters are in preseason form too, because after the second game, there was an interview because the Leafs had lost both games. And she goes, I'm paraphrasing, but something along the lines of, is it time to panic in Toronto? And just the look on Berube's face was almost like, Jesus, did I really sign to come to this place? Like, give me a break.
Toronto,
second game of the preseason.
Toronto and Vancouver are the only two markets, I feel like, in the entire league that would ask questions like that in the preseason.
God in heaven, hey?
Yeah.
Anyway, some positives that I've seen so far. I'd say the Tanev-Riley pair is going to be good. I didn't like it necessarily in the first game, although that's against what kind of I've been reading. The other beat reporters that say they actually liked the pair, thought they complemented each other well, and I don't disagree with that. I just thought Tanev looked a little behind. Riley was sloppy with the puck that game that I saw. And I get this whole mantra where they say the hockey players, you know, they're not in midseason form, quote unquote. They're not up to game speed and stuff like that. And now I'm not necessarily worried about that, but I mean, what about puck handling? Are you telling me these guys don't work on that and haven't worked out all summer on these intricate skills? They have skills coaches for these reasons. The sloppiness, I don't think, has anything to do with whether or not they're in midseason form. I think it's focus.
Yeah.
Like you say, maybe they just, you know, they've written off the game because it's preseason. They're not focused in what they're doing. They're not concentrating on the chess match that is a hockey game within the game. And I just, that stuff frustrates me. Now, I'm not going to get frustrated yet. Usually it takes 2 or 3 games. But I just...
Yeah, give yourself a couple more preseason games.
Just little
games.
Things like that, when you see them, you're kind of like, holy crap, man. Like, you're standing behind the net. You're not even doing anything. Yeah. You go to stick handle forward, and it bounces over your stick. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you definitely want to show some effort in the preseason. Like, the you know, if not for the fans... And for your own game, you want to show the younger players what it is to be a pro. And, you know, you don't want to be outshone by these young players, too. You are still fighting for your spot, even though you are guaranteed, say, a top 6 role or whatever it might be. You still want to be able to perform and show that you're, you know, you're worth the money you're being paid, you know?
Well, and, you know, we're talking about culture change, right? And the idea of this lackadaisical approach to not taking the game seriously, like the moment you put your foot on the ice, all of it should be taken seriously.
Yeah.
You know, the game still has to be fun, but you know, you're not playing amateur hockey. You're not playing pond hockey. You're playing the hardest league in the world. So you should give your all every step of the way.
And being paid the best out of
That's
any
right.
league in the
100%.
World, for that matter.
Yep.
So another positive I would say from the first game that I saw and what I've heard so far, Patches O'Houlihan. Max Pacioretty looked really good. I didn't think he was really slow. He's maybe a little bit behind from what I was watching, but as far as I could tell, looked pretty good. He was in the right spots. I mean, yeah, scoring 2 goals helps, and you're going to be noticed more that way, but I just thought overall he did not look out of place. I saw an article today that said, I guess, his kids told him that the Leafs jersey looks the best on him out of all the jerseys he's worn so far. So, interesting to say. And
every Montreal fan is like, threatening to bomb their house and stuff.
Way to go, young generation.
No way, I don't think so. But tonight, I guess we'll see, because he is playing against the Habs, and we'll see how that goes. But the big-time prospect, Mr. Cowboy, Easton Cowan, looked good the first game for the limited ice time that he had. The second game, again, I didn't see it, but it didn't sound like he played very well. He didn't get, again, he's playing on the fourth line, so I don't, depending on how much ice time you're getting, etc. It looked like he was okay. He didn't really look out of place. He looked a little timid, I would say. Did you watch the first game, Paul?
Did, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought he looked a little timid. The skills that he has and the hockey IQ that he has will take over at some point, but I think he's just... He wants to make a name for himself, but at the same time, he doesn't want to step on toes, which really he needs to.
Yeah.
Like, who cares if he don't pass the puck to Mitch Marner if he's calling for it? Or who cares if Austin Matthews on a tee waiting for that patented one-timer? Just, you know, if you got a hole, you got a spot, take your shot, man.
Well, in his ice time, I think that first game played a part. Like, he was obviously playing in the bottom 6 to start off the game. He got a little bit more later in the game. I wouldn't doubt he had more of an impact on this game because he was playing in the top 6. So certainly the opportunity to take a look at it and see how he played. I'm sure he had more opportunities.
Part of me wonders too, you know, at what point does kind of strategy take effect on a player like that when he comes into a league, first of all, a you know, an NHL league where you know, structure and strategy are something that you're not familiar with. I mean, you're familiar with it, but not to this level. And so, you know, you're learning a new structure, learning new strategy, you know, like you say, jumping up and down different lines where a line, say you play on the third line, well, that's a, you know, that could be a checking role, a checking line. Not something you're familiar with. Yeah. When you jump into the second line, it's more scoring. You're playing with different players all the time. So you got to get used to all these different players. Yeah, I feel like a younger player, you kind of have to give them a good, what is the word? A good drink of water at the position to sort of get used to it, right? And then kind of dip their feet in and see how they can really progress.
He jumped in physically. He was, you know, he was throwing the body around. He's the opportunity when he didn't have the puck, I thought he was fine. He was back defensively responsible. He was fine.
Has he scored at all in the preseason yet?
Not yet. Okay. No. John Tavares looked great. He looked quick, to be honest. I think everybody that watches the Leafs can say last year he looked a little bit behind, that was an injury issue. Who knows, right? We don't know all of the factors. But I thought Tavares looked really good. He made some good plays. Face-offs are never an issue with him. That's one of the reasons he's there. So did you have any take on Johnny T?
Yeah, I'd say he had more of a step. He looks like he's kind of almost going into that fatherly role that they keep talking about now. He kind of has that mindset where I obviously when he was with the Isles, when he first started the Leafs, he was that star player, that expected star player. But now that obviously his father time's kind of catching up with him a little bit, and he's passing on the buck now, obviously, with the captaincy to Matthews. You can kind of almost see that I'm here to support you kind of attitude instead of I'm here to run the reins kind of thing.
Yeah, the weight was a little lifted. Again, we're talking one game. We'll see what happens. But I did get that sense a little bit that he just looked a little more calm just playing his game. Noted enforcer Nikita Grebenkin.
Or I have no idea who that is.
Grebyonkin.
Grebyonkin.
Yeah, it's interesting because as of like 2 years ago, it was spelled and pronounced Grebyonkin, like Greb Yonkin, Yonkin.
Yonkin.
Now it's Grebenkin, like Grebenkin.
How is it actually spelled?
Like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So they changed the way it's spelled?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I thought they were two different players. I'm not going to lie to you. I researched the other day. I'm like, is this the same guy? They're very similar names.
That reminds me of a former NHL player who at one point was Vancouver's number one draft pick, Cody Hodgson. They went literally a year and a half, I think. Pronouncing it Hodgson. It was spelt as such, but then one day in an interview after like a year and a half being with the team, he goes, by the way, it's pronounced Hodgson. You don't pronounce the G.
Hodgson. Interesting.
Hudson. Yeah.
So, yeah, Grebenkin's trying to make a name for himself. He's a physical player. He's got some scoring touch, but he's a mucker a little bit, trying to impress Berube. That's the player that he wants.
Yeah, Berube said he's liked him a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, a lot of the time it's work ethic. You see guys that are trying hard every shift. They're going to get praised. And he had a fight in the second period. I don't even really know what happened. They still didn't really. I kept trying to see if they would show a replay of what was going on and why they started a fight. And anyway, there really was not much out of it at all. So
yeah.
At the end of the fight, I guess he thought he won, and it was against Gaudette. Actually, yeah. And after the fight, he looked up, kind of was looking around, and he was just like, okay, let's just throw my hands up. Woo!
Get the crowd in it.
Trying to get the crowd into it.
That's funny.
Preseason, yeah. He like hardly even threw a punch, but anyway.
That's the way it goes sometimes. Especially with the younger guys, because they just want to be fan favorites, you know?
Yeah. A couple of negatives I would say is I did not like the goaltending. Period.
No.
Matt Murray, who they said had a great year. Again, he didn't get a lot of defensive help, but Murray looked like crap. Just straight up like crap.
AHL goaltender.
Yeah. Joseph Woll didn't really impress me either. There was a couple of soft goals.
Yeah.
Kind of squeaked under the arm. Usually he's positionally pretty good, and I just he looked a little behind as well. So, yeah, that was, I don't know. Do what you want with that. OEL. Brutal. Brutal first game. I don't know what he was doing. He turned the puck over so many times. There was one play where all he had to do was make the right decision, throw it behind the net, up the boards, whatever you want to do. He took too long to make a play and literally just got stripped by a guy coming in front of him.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, well, that's not very good. Like, move your feet, man. This is what you do. You're good at it. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good for me. Max Domi played the wing. He's got to play center. I know he's playing center tonight because Matthews is hurt, but I don't like him on the wing at all.
Now, they've been playing with the idea of putting Nylander in center, right?
They did. He played at center the whole game.
Is that why
Domi was
Domi is on the
wing? It was that game for sure, yeah.
Okay.
Because Tavares was the third.
Right.
Third line winger. Or center, sorry. Domi looked like he'd never played hockey before. I'm just going to leave it at that, to be honest with you. We all know that he's a way better player than that.
I'm sure a lot of Leaf fans that are listening to you say this are just going, hey, man, it's only preseason.
Of course.
You know, but of course.
That's all we're talking about.
These right are now. Things to be concerned about, though, for sure, right?
I mean, not. I don't necessarily think I'm concerned about it. I'm just kind of noting what I've seen so far.
Right.
And maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm just kind of saying what I saw. Yeah. I mean, I would say Ryan Reeves, one of my favorite players, he looked okay. He had a scrap. He laid the body. Again, he's not really out there to win, you know, the fastest skater, which can sometimes be a detriment to him, but thought he looked pretty good for the most part. And other than that, I mean, Nylander looked good at center. I don't really have much to say. He had a good game. He did a lot of the right things. He controls the play. He possesses the puck. Yeah, it was fine, I thought.
Has Hakanpää played yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Now, when it's all said and done, obviously because the Leafs have to get under the cap by the time training camp and preseason is over, are you more likely to, you know, trade a guy like David Camp, where they have kind of some players that could replace him, for that value, the $2.4 million, or are you more likely to let go of Connor Timmins and send down Ryan Reeves to open up that cap space?
Well, that's the big question on defense is Timmins, I think, right now, because he's probably the one that has the most value for the contract that he has. David Camp, you could try to move, and they probably will.
Do they have to include a sweetener with that, though?
They would.
They sure would have to, because his contract is a lot of money. He's $2.4 million for a fourth-line center.
Yeah.
Pontus Holmberg has impressed at camp, from what I understand so far, as well. Berube likes him. Ottawa fans won't like him from the other night. They called it a slew foot, even though his leg didn't go anywhere near the player. Anyway, we're not going to get into that.
That's perspective.
Yeah, perspective, for sure. Yep. Opinion-based.
Yeah.
But Holmberg is a player who's going to win the hearts of the coach pretty much every time, because he just does the right things.
Heart and soul player.
Kind of, he does.
Good two-way game.
Yarncroke, again, he doesn't look good. I'm not really sure where his role is or what his role is on this team right now. So they may try to move him too. But yeah, as of right now, without signing Pacioretty, I believe they're about $560K over the cap. And like I say, that's without signing Pacioretty, and yeah, there's options there. I don't know how much they can save. I still get confused about this, but if they were to send Reeves down to the minors, you know a little bit more than I do, but I thought, because Reeves is over the age of, I think it's 36, that cap can't be buried. That this is where
it's
all
dependent on what kind of contract he has, right?
Yeah, from what I remember reading about, is that when you're over the age of 36, most of it is actually able to be buried, except for 200,000. 200,000 of it stays as a cap hit.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I always thought it was the opposite.
So that's like guaranteed income for him. Like,
he absolutely gets that. So he goes down to the AHL, he's guaranteed
NHL
that
income, I should say.
Yeah.
It's kind of crappy, because I think he's a player that needs to be on this team. That's the way I look at the game. Yeah.
But I'm sure Berube would think the same thing, probably, considering the kind of coaching he does, right?
Probably, yeah. That's why I think that may not be the option they go with, but it is an option that they could do.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you bring in a Steve Lorenz, though, to have somebody that's got a little more foot speed and can kind of do the same thing.
Yeah, maybe, but there's no intimidation factor. And whether you think the game old school like I do or not, that is a part of the game, in my opinion, and I believe the Leafs coaches think the same way.
Well, think of it this way. Berube and Rick Tocchet are very similar coaching.
They're good friends,
as well as Travis Green, actually. But that kind of leads me to what the Canucks have done, and very similar. Like, Rick Tocchet's coaching style is he likes to play a physical game. And you need big players to play that physical game because they need to be able to withstand, you know, the punchback, the pushback, the physical game coming back your way. So, yeah, absolutely. I can see Berube keeping a player like Reeves and having other big players to play that physical game on your team. So, yeah, the Canucks are... It's definitely been an interesting offseason. They've been more active than I kind of have seen them be in a long time. And it's exciting because some of the players they've got for such cheap contracts have really, really shown the value. You know, they're overvalued early on. I know it's only been, you know, two or three preseason games. I'm pretty sure it's just been two. Maybe three. I can't remember now. They played last night against the Calgary Flames. That was with Yuri Patera in net. The big players so far this preseason that have shown are Jonathan Lekaramäki. Jonathan Lekaramäki is their number one prospect right now. He is basically the next Elias Pettersson based on that excitement level. He won't be as good as Elias Pettersson. However, he does play like Elias Pettersson. He's right-handed. Elias Pettersson's left-handed. He actually has a similar shot to Brock Besser. So really, if you could call him a Swedish Brock Besser, in that he's got a wicked shot. He has really good hockey IQ. He has not yet scored. So kind of like what you were saying with Cowan, he has not yet scored in the preseason, but he's impressed every time he's been on the ice because he's made smart plays. He's made, you know, good defensive plays. Rick Tocchet is very, very excited for this player. I would not be surprised if he earns a spot out of this from what we've seen so far. That being said, I also wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in the AHL just so he can cook, right? They want players to cook in the AHL. We've got a lot of players that are potentially on this team. But last night against Calgary, the number one player that I think blew everyone away, Daniel Sprong. Daniel Sprong scored an incredible goal last night. End to end, there's like 30 seconds left in the third period. They're down 3-2. Sprong takes it and dekes between, you know, three or four Calgary players and takes it to the net and scores. The guy's got hands like you wouldn't believe. He's also got speed. Like, he was fast. And, yeah, it's just exciting to see that when you sign a player like that for NHL min contract for 1 year and the guy puts on moves like that. Listen, I know it's the preseason, but these are the things that are exciting to see when this is a guy you got on such a cheap contract. It's exciting for me.
If you were to check out the Puck and Pod on YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, X, Facebook, and Instagram,
like you are now,
and you listen to episode 4, you would know that we saw that coming.
That's right, we did. Definitely a good value signing, and I think that you know, there's been a few players like that this offseason that I feel like the Canucks have really kind of impressed with the way they've been able to sign people.
Yeah, you have to wonder with a guy like Sprong, because we're talking about him there, how he's as undervalued as he is, right? I understand that there probably is a defense part of the game that might not be strong, but you can look at other players around the league that are making millions that don't have strong, you know, defensive games. A guy like Sprong, it's really good value, like you said. It's quite surprising that
it is, and I think a lot of it too depends on who he plays with, right? Like, if he's going to play with somebody who's defensive minded, who can pass the puck and also make really good plays to get him the puck, then Bob's your uncle. Like, he's going to have a lot of opportunities to play with people like Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusk or JT Miller and Brock Besser. So,
To an extent, it kind of makes you miss the old way of like running the power plays, where they used to kind of split up the star power on the two power play units. You see a lot of teams nowadays, like the Leafs, that put all their star power on say the front, you know, the front loaded first unit. If you had better chemistry and players playing a specific role other than passing and moving the puck around, maybe, you know, you have a very different looking power play. I'm wondering if Berube maybe will do something like that at some point.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. And I think that, one thing that we as fans tend to forget about is the different nuances of each line. So, yeah. Like we were talking about that earlier, the cool thing about Sprong is that, you know, he's got the hands, he's got the speed, but if he plays with somebody, even somebody like Connor Garland, who has high hockey IQ, right? The guy can get away from anybody. But he also makes really incredible plays. Like, he's really good at reading the play. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of players on the Canucks are undervalued for. You know, that hockey IQ. And that is something that can be taught to people at young ages, right? And it's just a matter of, like, understanding how plays work, understanding how players play, and the spots they put themselves in so that you can make that play and get the puck to them.
100%. What are some of the other contracts that you were looking at that you consider good value?
Yeah, the Lankinen value is probably the big one. Most just for recency bias, like signing Kevin Lankinen for what it was like $865,000 or something like that. It was something around there. I'm sorry if I'm getting the number wrong. But yeah, Kevin Lankinen, he was basically one of Nashville's better goaltenders. They couldn't keep him because of signing Juuse Saros for so long. Lankinen's like, I need to go somewhere else because I'm never going to play on this team, right? So this is his chance to basically shine as most likely a backup goaltender for Vancouver. Most likely, it could very well be between him and Artur Shelovs. However, between the two of them, Shelovs doesn't require waivers to go down to the AHL. So that's kind of why it makes sense on Vancouver's side of things. It's a great signing. Vancouver, you know, like we talked earlier, Vancouver basically tabled the offer of, you know, that one-year contract and then held out and waited for Lankinen to basically agree or not agree. So, yeah, it definitely shows that, you know, Patrick Alvin, Jim Rutherford, they're not afraid to just say, you don't want it, you don't have to take it, and we'll do something else, right? So it's awesome.
Have you noticed anything so far? Like I said, it's early, but have you noticed any systematic tweaks? I mean, the Canucks had a damn good season, right?
Yeah.
Even the playoffs.
So I think back to the first preseason game against Seattle, and the first goal that they scored in that game was a power play goal. Nils Höglander basically was sitting net front, and they did this amazing tic-tac-toe play to basically score the goal. There's one prospect in particular that's really shown, other than Jonathan Lekkomäki, there's a prospect by the name of Atu Ratu, who everyone knows who he is, but they don't realize that he's actually really upped his game over this offseason. It's funny because, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but Atu Ratu was acquired in the Bo Horvat trade, right? Traded to New York Islanders in exchange for Atu Ratu. Well, Atu Ratu is almost becoming Bo Horvat. Like, the way he plays is very similar to Bo Horvat. So it's kind of exciting. You're almost seeing the same player you gave up come back to you in a different way. He wins faceoffs like you wouldn't believe. I mean, again, this is just preseason, but so far, his faceoff percentage is something like 70%. And that for sure is something you need, especially in the playoffs. That's what we gave up when we didn't sign, you know, Lindholm in the offseason. So if you can like maintain that, he could find himself on the fourth line in the regular season.
Yeah, and honestly, you think in big trades like that with star players, you know, guys who are in the top 20, 30, 40 players in the league,
yeah,
that when you trade them away, whether it be because of an expiring contract or whatever the reason may be, you're obviously going to want a similar player back. And that's usually where that prospect side comes in, right? Is a player who's going to replace similar value, similar style, so that because, you know, the draft picks you may retain back in the deal, you don't see them for four or five seasons. Whereas ideally that A prospect or B plus prospect that you get back in the trade, in addition to the draft picks, is going to be similar to that player that you're losing because there's a reason they're a star player.
If not better, right? I mean, and so Ratu is 21 years old, so he's got a lot of time to really perfect his game. And at 21, if you're already starting to play that style that Bo Horvat had, you know, that's exciting for a Canuck fan. And then of course, you know, in that Bo Horvat trade, we also got a first round pick that we traded off to Detroit for Hronek. And Hronek is obviously worth more than, you know, more than his weight in gold for what he's been bringing to the team. The guy can shoot the puck like you wouldn't believe. The thing that he didn't do last year was shoot the puck more. And so that's what we've already seen him shoot the puck the way he's supposed to shoot the puck in the preseason, scoring a goal in that game against Seattle as well. So it's exciting. You know, as a Canuck fan, all you want to do is see the guys bring that energy, bring that level of skill that they have, even in the preseason, you know.
Maybe a little Brando's Commando segue here, but what did you think about Borgen hitting Garland after the whistle and Myers saying, no thanks?
Yeah, like, so it's a scary hit that Myers threw at him. I mean, I will admit that as a Canuck fan. I know that Seattle fans Myers is public enemy number one in Seattle. And that's what I love because we're building that rivalry, you know, and it's exciting for me as a Canuck fan. However, like I say, I definitely don't think that was a good hit that Myers threw at him. But at the same time, I'm glad that he stuck up for his teammate. This is what you will see more and more in the regular season with the Canucks, because that is a Tocchet-style game, right? And yeah, and you shouldn't be throwing hits like that at Connor Garland. The guy's 5'8".
And it was well after the whistle.
Borgen is trying to be a pest.
Of course.
You know, that's the style he wants to play. We have Kiefer Sherwood on our team now, and that's his style of game too. And I will say Kiefer Sherwood looked really good in a Canucks uniform. He's played well. It's only been one game. He's just played the one game. But I like what he brought. I like the fact that he's not afraid to do what he's supposed to do. To win puck battles and to you know, stick up for your teammates and whatnot, so, and be a pest. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how this season plays out. But I'm excited with the moves that the Canucks have made, and I'm intrigued to see what they do going forward. Because with the team they have, it's a heavy team. It's in terms of contract, we're right up against the cap based on, you know, the fact that we have not used LTIR yet. They won't use LTIR. I don't believe they don't want to. They want to stay out of the cap. So if they do try to acquire another player, I do believe there's a trade or two to be made. It just depends when. So, I was saying I think they have more moves ahead of them. I think Lankinen was that move. And I think that they're going to stick with what they got, because once Demko comes back, it's going to be real interesting to see where this team goes. I will say one other thing about that first game against Seattle. I thought Artur Shelov looked like he was in mid-season form. He made some incredible saves in that game.
That's huge for him. That's what he needs.
Yeah.
That's what he needs to be, right?
Absolutely. He's going to basically start the regular season while Demko's not in, right? So it'll be him as number one, Lankin as number two. You're going to see Yuri Patera as the AHL goalie, and probably Tolopilo as his backup.
Yeah.
Tolopilo is also a very promising goalie as well. So, in terms of goalie depth, they've got it. In terms of center depth, they've got it. In terms of winger depth, I think there's more that they can use. But right now in the NHL, I think their lineup looks pretty good at forward.
You have to wonder when Höglander is going to take that next step. Like he has the skill for it, right?
I mean, like I said, that preseason game, that goal he scored, he was in the right position.
Yeah.
He played well, and he's always played. Last year, he played incredible too. Scored 26 goals or something, like 22 goals. He scored in the 20s, which is more than he's ever had. You know, so he's young enough that he's basically can only get better and better as he goes. So his value is going up. I think he's, you know, from the outside looking in, he's a really good two-way player. He retrieves pucks well. He's not afraid to go in those scary spots to score goals. So, yeah, I absolutely am a huge Höglander fan, for sure.
That's good.
The big thing that the Canucks need right now is that defense. It's, you know, I will say yesterday we got to see Desharnais play, and he looks good. I like what he brings. He plays a physical style, but he's smart. He moves the puck well. And, you know, it's funny because I saw a lot of Edmonton fans kind of say, like, oh, watch out for this guy. He's not gonna be what you expect. But I'm like, I think a lot of it comes down to who is coaching this guy. Like, we have, you know, we have Adam Foote as our defensive coach, one of the better defensemen in the NHL when he played. The guy has some experience that he can bring to these guys, and he can show them the right things they need to do to win those puck battles. And I'm excited for what's to come.
If that's the case, at least you need to bring in Bobby Orr as their defensive coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have, right? It's good to have that experience. They've got the Sedins. They've got, you know, they've got Adam Foote. They've got Sergei Gonchar. And they've got a really well-rounded coaching staff with Rick Tocchet as well. So, you know, we as Canuck fans, we have a lot to look forward to. I think that it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, that's been a very interesting take on all the Canadian teams. We'll cover maybe a bit more of the NHL, just some of the news that's going on. Hopefully, the change that's been done in Buffalo, the news today that Rasmus Dahlin was named captain of the team, hopefully that will propel them into the playoffs this year. We shall see.
We shall.
The LA Kings, one of their players that was kind of holding out in terms of contract, Arthur Kaliev. He just recently assigned. He suffered a fractured clavicle on day two of training camp, so he is out indefinitely.
That is the
Kings
worst.
Are in a rough spot, man. Did you see Doughty last night or the night before? Did you guys see it? No. What happened to him?
No.
I think it was last night. Oh, man, he's out. Like, he's gone for a while. He was head
injury or?
No, he was trying to seal off the boards and stay ahead of the puck as the player. I don't even know who they were playing last night, but... I was just so blown away. But he was trying to shield off the boards, and as he was going in, he put his front leg forward, and his front leg basically bent at a 90-degree angle, hit the boards. No, that's not even it. It was like the fact that the tread caught as his leg was dragging across the boards and actually dragged his left leg underneath him, and it was his left leg that got hurt.
Oh, wow.
The early reports say he's in trouble.
Yeah, like ACL or...
Who knows? Yeah. He was holding his like shin area, so he might even have like a broken bone. I'm dumb. I don't even know what that bone's called. Femur or something. But
I think it's a femur.
It did not look good.
That could be a career ender.
Yeah.
Could be.
Oh, it's just that not a good start.
Wow. You know, I'm not... yes, that sucks for LA, but I'm not sure they have the worst luck when it comes to, you know, the way things go for them. I would say that probably belongs to Columbus. With everything that happened with them this offseason, with Gaudreau and you know, players not wanting to sign there and stuff, it's definitely unfortunate for them.
You know, we're talking about Columbus. They went after one of the sought-after remaining free agents in James Van Riemsdyk. Obviously, you know, the sad news about Johnny.
Yeah.
He's even talked about that he played with Johnny in the 2019 World Championships. Says that the team thinks about... Right now with Columbus, since he's been with Columbus, that the team thinks about him every day. They focus their playing the game in a way that will keep his memory alive with them. He's kind of been saying that it's hard for everyone to still wrap their head around the fact that Johnny's not there. But they're going to obviously play, you know, honoring his memory, put the passion, the joy into the game to kind of, you know, put in the same kind of passion and joy that Johnny had into the game. The whole team is focusing, from what I was reading, on doing the same thing.
I read that they were going to be keeping his jersey in his stall, and it's going to be next to it's going to be next to Sean Monahan's jersey stall. So he'll get to sit next to where he was supposed to sit again beside Johnny Gaudreau. So they're going to keep it up the whole year, and that's basically Gaudreau's stall this whole year. So, you know, Gaudreau was. He was not one of those players, like, you could look at, you know, there's probably a few players out there where we can say to each other, I hate that guy. Gaudreau was not one of those guys.
He used to take time, as much time as he could, to be with fans and literally stop and sign autographs for every single person that was in line. And
No matter what team they cheered for.
And think about this, too, also. It goes league-wide, right? And you know this as a hard-nosed guy as, say, John Tortorella is. The other day, he invited their dad to practice. Yeah. Right? Did you see about that, Paul?
Yeah, I had just recently read about that. I thought that was quite the thoughtful thing to do, considering what happened. Right.
And I mean, it goes without saying, across the hockey world, just the impact that those types of tragedies can make. Right?
Totally.
Talking about the Flyers, obviously, you're talking about Tortorella. Michkov has finally, you know, made his way over, and he's playing their preseason games with them now. He had two assists the other night in the game that he was playing. However, Tortorella does seem to think he's hit a wall in terms of his skating.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man,
I miss that about John Tortorella as a coach. just being completely honest with the media about things.
Hey, Brooksy, get that through your head.
But that, you know, that's Boudreau was like that too. Very honest with the media and didn't hold anything back. Maybe that's why he's not with the team anymore, because he was too honest with the media. But I miss that.
Yeah, looking at the way that Tortorella runs things, right? Like he's probably a lot like Travis Green in terms of the intensity, in terms of the camp that he expects of everybody.
Yep.
The Flyers had a goalie prospect he's been a bit difficult to deal with. That's Alexei Kolosov. He's a KHL goaltender. They signed him. They wanted to come over. Apparently he like doesn't get along with anybody and he wants to go back to the KHL, but has somehow made the time to come to NHL training camp to hope to make the team. If he doesn't, he gets to go back to the KHL and, you know, do his goalie thing over in Russia.
That's a common problem with Russian players, is that they have that clause where they can just go back to Russia. Hey, you don't want me? Fine. I'll go play KHL hockey because I'm still going to make good money playing hockey over there. And that happened to Vancouver with a defenseman by the name of Nikita Triemkin. Played two seasons in the NHL and decided that he wanted to play in the NHL because he wasn't getting the ice time that he thought he deserved. He was not a good player. He was not good at all.
No.
Probably the best part about him was that he actually was not afraid to fight, but that's about it.
Yeah, he was a big body. I remember
He was 6'7".
Crazy. Looking at other NHL news, Logan Couture suffered a lower body injury, and he only played 6 games last year. So the fact that he's getting injured again, I think Father Time is kind of catching up with him too, unfortunately. You know, his future replacement here, Celebrini, he had a goal and an assist in his first preseason game.
He's got some skills, that guy.
He definitely does. He apparently had a lower body injury as well in practice, but from what the coach was saying, it was like a little bit of everything that was going on.
Maybe just a tweak or something.
Could be just a tweak.
Yeah.
You know, finishing off kind of some NHL, you know, news. Bleacher Report had put out some predictions, what they expected for all 32 teams this year. I'm going to quiz you guys. Just, you know, give me a yay or nay if you believe what they're saying.
Okay.
So looking at the Anaheim Ducks, they predict that the Ducks are going to finish the season just below 500, which will be significant improvement on their record last year.
I'll give it a yay.
I agree with that.
Perfect. The Boston Bruins, Jeremy Swayman will be signed by opening night.
I'm going to say nay.
I'll go yay. He's too important to that team.
Yeah, I just...
They'll find a way to get it done.
I'll say this. If it happens, they're going to overpay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
1,000,000%. Yeah.
Buffalo Sabres, Devon Levi will break out.
Will play in the NHL, you mean?
Yeah, have a breakout season.
Oh, have a breakout season. I guess it depends on what you mean by breakout season. Like, better than last year? Sure.
Carry them into the playoffs.
Buffalo and the playoffs don't seem to go together. I'll go nay on that.
It's funny you just said that, because I'm literally thinking to myself, I'm going nay because nothing ever seems to work out for Buffalo.
Calgary Flames, Jonathan Huberdeau will have a bounce back season.
Sure. I mean, him and Kadri are all they got, basically, right?
Quite literally.
So, sure, I'll agree with that.
Because of that reason, I'm going to go nay. Yeah. I just don't think there's enough support.
Not enough guys
for him
to pass him the puck.
For him to play the game that he wants to play.
Carolina Hurricanes, Seth Jarvis will become a star.
He already is a star.
I also thought
that. I guess
that,
they're pointing at superstar, maybe.
Well, I'll say yay. Sure.
Yay. Definitely yay.
I like their Bleacher Report's Chicago analysis. Connor Bedard is good.
Nay.
Connor Bedard is great.
Yeah, I don't know. That kid's, he's unreal. He reminds me, and this is obvious, but he reminds me of Connor McDavid. Doing things no 19-year-old should be able to do.
The only difference between him and Connor McDavid, in my opinion, is speed.
Oh, I was going to say their last name.
Well, I don't think he's as fast as McDavid. That's the only thing.
No.
I mean, he's still, you know, fast, but just not to McDavid's level.
Nathan MacKinnon on the Colorado Avalanche will keep the ship tight.
Keep the ship tight. That's vague, man.
Considering they have quite a few injuries, there's going to be a lot of reliance
on him. So basically, they're still going to make the playoffs and, you know, all that. I'm going to say nay. I'm going to be a pessimist on that.
Is Landeskog back?
Not yet.
No. That leans me a little more towards nay. I don't know. McKinnon's a pretty incredible player.
Let me be clear. McKinnon, I like him more than I like McDavid. I think he's a great player. I just keep the ship tight. It to me means like he's going to wrangle all his players, his co-players in and get things going. I just don't know that that's what he's going to do.
Well, last year, didn't he, like, castrate guys for having ice cream?
Yeah.
I think he already keeps a pretty tight ship.
He's not the captain of the team, which always surprised me. Yeah. But, you know, he pretty much is a captain.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean... I'll go nay, yeah. But it's more like a yinay.
Columbus Blue Jackets, new GM, Dom Waddell, will keep things in perspective.
I don't like these statements, because, like, that's such a vague thing to say.
Maybe kind of the focus
I'm
on
gonna say,
the
I'll,
season?
I'll say yay, only because they can only go up from here.
Yeah. Considering
there, it's the same thing I feel about Buffalo. Almost like nothing ever seems to go right enough for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
They've had pretty much the worst offseason of any team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Considering Dallas Stars, Wyatt Johnson is going to take the entire NHL by storm.
Okay, so that term could mean that he surprises everybody with how good he is.
Yeah,
he's a really good player, so I'll say yay to that. I don't think he's going to, like, win the heart or anything.
You know what I would say is that I wish that these questions were more, like, percentage-based.
Yeah.
If you just said, you know, Johnson's going to take over the NHL by storm, what percentage do you think that will be? I'd say, like, probably 68% chance.
The Detroit Red Wings, this is kind of a alluding to, I guess. The prediction is, I don't know, but I'm starting to get itchy. So I'm assuming this is that they're getting to that point of starting to become a playoff team.
They need to make the playoffs again. I don't see him in the playoffs this year.
Not in the Atlantic. No, it's too tough.
So that would be a nay from us.
Edmonton Oilers, it's time to win the Stanley Cup.
Nay.
Hell's nay.
Florida Panthers, they aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
No, they'll be a contender again this year.
Please repeat your question.
Florida Panthers, they aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
Does that mean that they're going to win the cup again?
Pretty much. I think they're expecting them to be the
I don't
top.
Think you could say anybody is going to win the cup. I think that they'll be a contender for sure.
Yeah.
There's going to be about four or five teams that are contenders this year. So
I will go outside the box and say a bold prediction and think that Florida is going to place fourth in the Atlantic Division.
Interesting. That's really,
I mean, that's entirely possible. They did lose some players this year.
Here's another hot take. Sorry, Paul.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I will go as far as to say the Tampa Bay Lightning will not make the playoffs.
That would be hilarious because of the whole Gensel thing. With Stamkos being gone, signing, you know, Jake Gensel to that huge contract, everybody wanted Gensel, and then they go nowhere. That would be pretty funny.
Los Angeles Kings, considering just what's recently happened to Mr. Doughty, Drew Doughty's usage will reflect the vibe.
I'll agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
So, yay.
Yay.
Minnesota Wild. Kirill Kaprizov enters the NHL star conversation.
What?
Which I think he kind of already is.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. 2 seasons ago.
Okay, who wrote that?
This is Bleacher Report.
Okay, so somebody in the States.
They should be sitting in the bleachers.
Somebody in the United States who doesn't know anything about hockey wrote this article.
Montreal Canadiens. Not that bad, actually.
They're getting better. Whether they're there or not, do you see them as a playoff team?
I'm trying to take my hate for the Habs out of this question and out of this answer.
Yeah.
No, they're not a playoff team yet. They're going to be better. Just because I like predicting, I will say they move up to, say, 7th in the Atlantic.
Yeah, fair enough.
Nashville Predators. UC Saros will have a career year.
Yay.
Well, he's going to because of the team in front of him alone.
Yeah.
They're going to be a much better team this year. Last year, they eked into the playoffs. This year, they're going to earn that spot. Like, there's no doubt in my mind.
Roman Josi is a absolute beast, man.
Yeah.
There was a video that came up I saw on X the other day. And it was one-on-one drills in practice. And they had like six guys rapid fire back-to-back against Josi. Not one of them could even get close to getting by him.
Yeah.
He's just, not only can he put the puck in the net, he can make the first pass. He's got great skating ability. But that reach and defensive positioning, he's just the ultimate defenseman.
I don't know if you know this, but Quinn Hughes actually said in an off-season interview that He trained with Roman Josi last season. So that's why he thanked Roman Josi so much in his Norris winning speech, because, you know, he was a big influence on him.
Well, that's great, because then that must mean something that Mitch Marner decided to train with Connor McDavid in the offseason.
Yeah. There you
go. New Jersey Devils, Jacob Markstrom will deliver.
Here's my prediction on that. I say Markstrom will not deliver. I say Jersey fans will be very disappointed in Markstrom this season. I love Jacob Markstrom, don't get me wrong, but I just have this feeling. That's my gut feeling. I think that he's going to have a bad season this year.
I will say nay. That's all I got.
New York Islanders. Islanders fans will find a reason to pick apart any prediction, good or bad.
True. That's a yay for sure.
Yay.
New York Rangers. It'll be a monster season for Igor Shesterkin.
Shesterkin's a great goalie. I'll say yay.
Absolutely yay.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Ottawa Senators. They'll become who they were supposed to be.
Okay, that's putting a lot of faith in Travis Green. It's also putting a lot of faith in the players they picked up. I just feel like, okay, who they're supposed to be means they're supposed to be in the playoffs. They're supposed to be competing for the Stanley Cup. You're saying they're going to be like that in 1 year? No.
No.
That's a nay.
I think the Ottawa Senators will be in the second wild card spot.
They'll make the playoffs. I won't say they won't make the playoffs. I'm just saying who they're supposed to be, that's a bold statement.
God, these questions are hurting me, Paul.
They are. They're hurting me too.
It's fun. I like it. The Philadelphia Flyers, Matvei Michkov will win the Calder Trophy.
No.
Well, who's he competing against? He's competing against
Celebrini.
Celebrini. Who else?
Who
else is there?
Yeah. Lekarimaki?
Lane Hudson,
if
maybe?
If he makes it, yeah.
Lane Hudson will be in the conversation.
Yeah, Lane Hudson.
I'm sorry, Michkov, sorry. No. No. If his skating needs work, no. So I'm a nay on that.
Yeah. Cutter Gauthier, Will Smith, Logan Stankoven.
Yeah.
Rucker McGrady.
Yep.
Stankoven did play some games last year, right? But he didn't play enough to be considered in the Calder.
Dustin Wolf in Calgary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm a nay on that. Brando?
Nay, for sure. Yeah.
Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins will do the same thing they've done the past two seasons. Barely miss the playoffs in a crushing manner.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
That's very specific.
Well, so ignore the statement. They're going to miss the playoffs. Yay or nay? I say they do. I don't think they have the players. They're one of the oldest teams in the league right now.
I don't know. The Metro's tough, but I they always find a way to hang around. I don't know. I'm going to say, sorry. I don't know if it's a yay or nay now because I've been thinking about it too much, but I think Pittsburgh will be okay.
So you'll stick with Yanae?
Yanae.
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 You know it.
I think I met her once.
San Jose Sharks will need to be patient with Macklin Celebrini.
Patient for what? Patient that he puts up 35 goals?
Well, I think that probably means maybe play him in the AHL. Maybe keep him in the NHL for eight games and then send him down.
Not a chance. Not a chance. He's going to play 80 games and he's going to put up 68 points.
I feel like that's low for him. I feel like he could get somewhere.
He's on San Jose, Joe.
I know, but there are some decent players. He's playing with Toffoli.
Yeah, play him on the first line too, right?
I would say, I'll say nay. I think that he will stick around in the NHL as well. But I feel like he's potentially going to get something like 70, 80 points. I think he gets 25 goals. That's a prediction. That's bold.
Yeah.
It is bold, especially for a rookie, but.
Seattle Kraken, Shane Wright breaks out.
Nay. Sorry, Shane.
Yeah. He's gone sideways. Yeah.
He's been around for a few years now. If he hasn't broken out yet, I'm sorry. I just don't see it.
I think the look he gave the Habs management at that draft put a curse on him.
He said in an interview that he wasn't staring down the Habs table, but it was very obvious. It was
blatantly
that he was staring
obvious.
Down the Habs. It was very obvious. And it's funny because that's just the way it goes sometimes, man. You're not going to get drafted first overall all the time. You know, you got drafted in the NHL, you should just be happy about that.
Well, it's the difference between confidence and arrogance,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, hey, I hope I'm wrong. I hope he does break out. Good on him, but I just don't see it.
So is
I
don't.
I don't care enough about him.
True.
That was a nay from you?
Nay from me.
Nay.
St. Louis Blues, the soft rebuild works.
Nay.
Nay. Not in the Not in the center.
That's, is that what they're calling it? A soft rebuild, not a retool?
Soft rebuild.
I don't, yeah. All these freaking sayings, I just don't understand. It's a retool. Like, it is what it is. Just call it what it is. But no, it's not going
to
work.
Tampa Bay Lightning. They'll continue to stick around and annoy the rest of the league.
Oh, we talked about the Tampa Bay Lightning. They will and annoy the rest of the league.
They always annoy the league.
So your prediction is they don't make the playoffs, correct? So you're correct. A nay.
Nay.
I'll stick with Brandon. I'm a nay as well. Just because that's what I want to happen.
Yeah, no worries. The Toronto Maple Leafs. Austin Matthews will be a great captain.
I'm letting you answer.
Silence.
I'm not sold. I'm not sold.
Well, what makes a great captain?
That's true. I mean, that's a very gray area. Mm-hmm. I would say this is what I've noticed so far. I think that he's making a lot more of an effort to do little things, public appearances, optional skates, the way he's speaking to the media. He's upped his sass, but he's a lot more. He's praising his teammates more. Mm-hmm. Now, not that he didn't always do that, but it's you can tell it's from a position of leadership. Whereas before, I mean, even with the A, the only reason he would talk to the media or the way he talked to the media was because he was their best player. Now he's the face of the franchise from a different level, a different perspective, and I would say his attitude is definitely different, at least from what I can see, but I'm still not sold that he's going to be a great captain yet. I think he may get caught up too much in his own statistics and his own race that once the season gets in full rolling mode, the recency of the captaincy and the hype about it, I think will start to fade, and you'll still just see Austin Matthews putting up goals, which is fine in a way, but long-winded as that answer was, I would say I'm going to go nay. I'm not sold on it yet.
And I'm going to stick with you on it because I agree. I tend to agree that, you know, having that role of captaincy, especially in a Canadian market, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that, and sometimes you forget about your responsibilities because you're too worried about what you have to say to the media, right? So your responsibilities as a captain is your job is to help wrangle the team and get them, you know, get that culture changed, like, you know, we were talking about earlier. And there's a chance that it falls by the wayside because of the fact that he's got to be talking to the media all the time.
Yeah.
And that can weigh on a guy.
Utah Hockey Club, formerly the Arizona Who? Coyotes.
Just kidding.
It'll be better.
Better than the Coyotes?
That's what I'm assuming.
Well, I mean, that's a guarantee because they have a home, right? They're playing in an NHL rink. So, sure, it'll be better. Yay.
I'll go yay. At some point, you'd think that it just has to improve.
Can't get any worse.
The Oilers finally did it, right? After 19 first-round picks?
Vancouver Canucks. Thatcher Demko's usage will dictate the vibes.
No, I'll go nay. I think that Demko will be a kind of a cherry on top, especially when he's playing, you know, to his level. But I feel like there's a lot of different pieces and depth that I feel like the vibes are going to be just fine. You know, Quinn Hughes has been actually a really good captain for this team. It's been really awesome to see the culture change and see the guys kind of get to where they're at because of that. And having a coach like Rick Tocchet, it's going to make a big difference too.
I will say nay also that I think that with the hype kind of surrounding the fact that Demko is the star goaltender, he's the new face of the Canucks, and how with some injury problems last year, some sloppy play at times, it kind of just got swept away by the season that they had overall. Yeah.
I mean, he got hurt in the after the first game of the playoffs, and then DeSmith played the second game. They lost that game, but then Seelovs came in after DeSmith got hurt and played the rest of the, and they made it to the seventh game of the second round off of Seelovs. So, you know, in terms of goaltending, I don't think necessarily that Demko is going to dictate much.
The Vegas Golden Knights, less funny business. No, I think they're gearing this towards how they handled Marchessault, how they've handled trades and everything. So less funny business.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think that I still firmly believe they're not going to be as good as they have been. Somebody was saying to me once, like, oh, aren't you afraid of Vegas? And I'm like, no, why should I be? They literally did nothing. They lost players this year, you know? I mean, they've done stuff, but, like, to be the capacity that they were at when they won the Stanley Cup, they're not the same team. I don't think they're dangerous anymore. You know, I'm not worried about them at all. Hey, if I'm surprised and they are, then great, but I definitely don't think they're anybody to worry about.
I would say I am terrified of Vegas. The roulette table at Caesar's Palace is a magnificent
You're terrified
spectacle.
Of losing money in Vegas.
I'll go nay. I don't feel that way.
And myself, I actually think that they are going to be a dangerous team still. So,
well, you got to back that up.
Yeah. I think with what they lost in Marchessault and players they've lost since they won their cup title, they've got lots of good young talent that can still fill in that team. They've got the star center in Eichel, and they've got Hurdle, who they acquired at the deadline. I think they still have a pretty solid team.
So here's my rebuttal to that. And that my rebuttal to that is Eichel is only as good as the players he plays with.
I can agree with
that. And to me, the players he played with last year do not equate the players he's going to play with this year. So that's where I kind of feel about that.
The Washington Capitals, Alex Ovechkin doesn't break the record this year.
No, he's going to.
Nay, yeah. He's definitely going
he's
to.
He's definitely going to. I mean, it would have to be like a really bad injury for him not to get that. Because he's only 40 goals. You know, he had a bit of a slow start last year. I mean, a big slow start last year. It would take a miracle for him not to get that goal or that point.
He ended up with 31 goals last 31. Year.
Yeah, and he didn't start scoring until like February.
I think he had like 12 at the All-Star break.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know how many goals he needs to get there?
43?
To break it, yes. 42 to tie.
There you go.
Okay, and we're on to our final team, the Winnipeg Jets. Cole Perfetti's contract structure will dictate the vibes.
They sure love their vibes on this Bleacher Report.
Well, here's the thing. The vibe is pretty low in Winnipeg right now, considering all this rumors about players not wanting to play there. And so, yeah, I will agree with that, only because the fandom is so challenging in Winnipeg right now. They have a hard time filling their seats. And it's the smallest rink in the league. So yeah, I'm gonna say yes, that's true. I think that will definitely challenge the vibes in Winnipeg.
When was this Bleacher Report released? Because was Perfetti signed yet?
Is he signed now?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. He just signed, didn't he?
Like 3.25 a year, I think.
But it's like a bridge contract, like 2 years.
It's 2 years, yeah.
It was released 2 weeks ago.
The Bleacher Report was?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Perfetti signed 3 days ago.
Okay, so then the question changes to, does it affect the vibes? I'm going to go with yay.
Yes.
Yes, yay. He's going to be a good player this year. I mean, 3.25, I think he's projected to be a great player in Winnipeg. He'll have a good season. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Yeah, the vibes will be all right in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I think everything that we've went through with the with all the teams here and kind of doing the yay or nay, it's all speculation at this point. But it's
our opinion too. It's not like
exactly,
you know, somebody listening to this might be like, "What are you talking about? He's gonna have a great year or whatever." Like that's how it goes, right?
You're always gonna hear two sides or always hear or see two sides of the coin when it comes to that. So it'll be I think an interesting year for every team. It's hard to predict what's gonna happen. I'm excited, obviously, like the rest of us, to watch the hockey season, and I really hope there is a few surprises. To be honest, I would love to see Utah make the playoffs on their inaugural season there.
I heard. Did you see that first goal that was scored against them in their first preseason game? An own goal, unfortunately, but that's the way it goes. It just reminded me too much of Louis Erickson's first game as a Vancouver Canuck. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but Louis Erickson's first goal as a Vancouver Canuck, he got a pass from one of his teammates back to him, and he missed the pass, and it ended up going into their own net because they had a... I can't remember if it was a power play or if it was just the end of the game, but the net was empty. Louis Erickson goes after the puck, And he basically slides into the net with his with the puck, and that's your first memory of Louis Erickson as a Vancouver Canuck. And literally, it was probably what spelled disaster for him and that contract.
Yeah.
6x6 to have that guy on your team, oh, it was a nightmare.
$1 million goal.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah. I wanna throw one last thing at you guys. We don't need analysis, just basically name your pick, and I'm throwing this at you, so... It's going to be tough, but I think it would be kind of cool for us to just go through who our prediction is to win each division.
Perfect.
This year. Paul, let's start with the Central Division in the Western Conference. Who do you think's going to take that?
Dallas.
What do you think, Joe?
Dallas, for sure, yeah.
I will go with Colorado.
Oh, okay. All right, so you think that McKinnon's going to be able to wrangle his team and...
No. I mean, I don't think that McKinnon, whatever the hell the question was, or something like, you know, McKinnon dictates everything, or he's going to hold the ship together, or whatever. Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Hold the ship together.
Yeah. Pacific, Paul?
Edmonton.
Of course, Vancouver. Come on.
I will go Edmonton also, but I believe it's going to be a fight.
The consensus is Edmonton. Everybody thinks that Edmonton is the best in the West, really. But I just... You know, with the way that Edmonton season went last year with seemingly the same players, like give or take a few guys, they had a really rocky start. And there's no saying that that can't happen again. There's no saying that they can't fall off the cliff at some point. That being said, yeah, they are a good team. I you know, if you're an Oiler fan listening to me say this, like understand that they do have my respect. I understand that they are a good team. I don't want people to forget that teams can fall off that cliff. So, yeah.
See, I think they carry the momentum that they had from the final. And they signed some pretty good players in the offseason. So,
I think I'm being a pessimist more than anything. But, yeah, like they are obviously capable of winning the division for sure.
Paul, Atlantic, go.
As much as I want to go with the Leafs, I think Florida takes it again.
It would be hard not to say Florida, for sure.
I will be a homer. I'm going to say Toronto.
Yes. Cool.
I think it'll be Toronto and then Boston.
Honestly, neither of you guys chose Toronto, I'd be like, come on, guys.
Yeah, I think there's been some real positive changes. And, I mean, yeah, you could call me a pipe dream or whatever. But I think they're heading in the right direction.
Yep.
I think I think it'll be a little bit of a slow start for the Leafs. Like, I think they're still acclimating to Berube's style of play. I think they'll still make the playoffs. I think they'll still be a good team, but I think it takes right around December for them to.
Can I ask you a rebuttal to that as well, or a follow-up question? I mean, on a side note, with Keefe as their head coach, where does Jersey end up?
Well, that's the next question, isn't
Aww.
It? I Paul, stole your question. Who is going to win the Metro?
I would say the Rangers. Shesterkin's just too good.
That's what I was thinking. The Rangers, like. It would be hard not to pick them for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go the Rangers. Carolina's got to be up there. But to answer your question, I think the Devils will be a great team this year. Keith as the coach or not. The players are all young. They're hungry. And I mean, Keith's going to take the experience he had in Toronto and probably be a little more relaxed. Maybe he won't go so gray. If there's any hairs on his head,
maybe
left
he'll grow some color back.
Maybe
in his
he'll
hair.
Get some color back. Yeah,
that's a thing.
Yeah, I bet you they'll be third in the Metro.
Yeah, yeah. Well, boys, it's been a fun one this time. We didn't talk about movies this time around, but you know we ran out of time, I think. But next time we'll talk about some movies, and I think maybe we'll talk about kind of weird movies, like movies about sports that don't really get talked about a lot. So I'm looking forward to that one. How do you guys feel after this one?
I think we discussed a lot of good stuff about the league this year. And just like we talked about earlier, excited about hockey. And this kind of talk definitely brings that up.
Just to get into the fact that it's kind of here now. And pretty much everything we talk about with hockey moving forward now is going to be present, up to date, and exciting, right?
Yeah.
As the hockey season moves on. So
I really hope that our listeners took away what we talked about and got excited about the upcoming season, because you know we're excited about the upcoming season. We're going to keep you guys up to date all the time when we talk about hockey, so make sure you guys tune in. We're going to be on every week, every Monday, So make sure you check us out. We're on Spotify. We're on YouTube. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on literally anything you can possibly listen to a podcast on. So make sure you guys tune in. And then check out our social media as well. We're available on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, at The Puck and Pod. And TikTok, of course, we work really hard for those little TikTok videos. So make sure you guys check us out. Throw us a comment. Let us know how you guys enjoy the show. And if you guys have suggestions that, for things you want us to talk about, make sure you throw those in there as well. Once again, my name is Joe.
I'm Brando.
And I'm Paul.
Thanks for watching and listening. We'll catch you on the next one.